Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Father, we want to thank you for just a great time together in your word this evening. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you just sit to our hearts, reveal truth to us, and just help us to receive what you've got to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Is that better? I don't know what that was, but awesome. Last week, we spoke about how to deal with people or how to deal with relationships, and we were just saying how relationships really make the world go round. Amen? We're not talking about romantic relationships. We're just talking about friendships and every other kind of relationship to your parents, to friends, to family, to colleagues, everything like that. And I remember talking to someone, I can't remember who it was, but after the service and saying that was that, you know, we might do a series on this at a later stage, but I want to move on to some other stuff. And this week I prepared on that other stuff. And yesterday I just couldn't get this out of my head, and knowing that we have to focus on this now. So part two is this evening on how to deal with people, on relationships. Because I realized I never looked at it like this before, but this is a huge and it's a very important topic. And I know that there's some things that I know just by natural knowledge, but I'm also saying what I'm about to say by supernatural knowledge. And that is that there's some of you here this evening that you need to hear this, and that's why I'm teaching on it. God didn't put it on my heart to teach for people who weren't here. You're here, it's for you. Amen? He wants us to be able to learn to deal with relationships. Okay? And they can be messy sometimes. Amen? None of mine, but I know yours are. So he wants us to be able to deal with relationships. And you know, as I was meditating on this, I realized this is vitally important to building a strong church, to building a strong family, so building a strong company, whatever you're building, this is vital. But for us in building a church, a community of believers, in building a strong church, if we don't have strong relationships and if we don't know how to deal with conflict, we're never going to grow and we're never going to be healthy. This is important. You know, and as I'm meditating on this and then I decided, I spoke to my wife about a bit yesterday, and she said, it seems like you need to teach on this rather than on the other stuff, which we'll get to. And, it's one of the things which came up for us was, you know, this is vital because over the past, 6 years of Grace Life, periodically, the enemy has just come in to bring destruction and division in relationships. And that's always his plan with any church, with any group of believers. Let me get into there and cause division so that they can't be powerful together. Because God's got a purpose for us as a church. You're part of Grace Life if you're part of Grace Life. Amen? Grace Life is people. It's not the logo. Hello? Grace Life is the people. So God's got an awesome purpose for us to accomplish together. And if we're not together, we can't accomplish that. Okay, the first scripture, which isn't in our, I'm going to quote it. It's not in the notes, but Amos 3:3. It says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Unless they be in agreement. I mean, I don't want you to put up your hands at this, but I'm sure everybody has friends, right? You've got some relationships in your life. It's difficult to have a healthy relationship and to walk in the same direction if you're not in agreement. That's why in joining a church and going into a church, you've got to make sure that you agree with the vision, you agree with the mission, and that you can submit yourself to that leadership. If you can't do those things, don't join that church. Go somewhere else. Go make someone else's life difficult. Amen? The point is like it's the same thing with any group of people. You got to be going in the same direction if you're going to go anywhere. You can't have one person pulling you there. And it doesn't work. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? There's one vision in this house, in Grace Life. And our vision is to help people discover the unconditional love and grace of Jesus for them. And we've got many ways we do that. We do that through resources, through services. We want to plant churches. You know, we want to disciple people. That's the biggest part of us. We want to disciple people, establish them in the truth of God's word so that they can live fruitful, abundant lives by themselves. And periodically, we have people coming with a different vision, wanting to do something else, and it causes division. Dies too. So if there's two visions, it's division, it's disunity, it's not God. And so that's why it's so important to be in agreement and be going in the same direction. And usually people like that, I'm jumping straight into the heart of the message this evening. Usually people like that are awesome people who come with a different vision. They're awesome, and we love them, but an awesome person in the wrong place is the wrong person. An awesome person in the wrong church is the wrong person. Now, we're open for anyone. Anyone's welcome. We love you. But people who will be influencers, people who will be leaders, are only going to be people who carry this church's DNA, this church's vision, and we're going in the same direction. Amen? That's why we're not hasty in the laying on of hands, as Scripture says, and we're not like quick to put people into leadership, because you got to be tested. Anyway, the reason why we're looking at relationships and how to deal with conflict and things like this is because these things will help us build a strong church. A strong, healthy church. A healthy church will grow. A growing church will reach people. It'll impact people. It'll make a difference in the nation, not only in the community. And that's what we want to be. We want to be a church which is impacting South Africa and the world. And we already are impacting, you know, places here and there, but we want to make a bigger impact for Jesus. As a result, we've got to work on relationships. Amen? If you missed out last week, I encourage you to get the CD. But it's really foundational to what we're talking about. I'm just going to cover the major points quickly as a way of introduction to say what we spoke about. Firstly, we looked at how you will not be able to be friends with everyone. And that's liberating. We all want to be friends with everyone. We all want to be, you know, we want people to like us, but it's not going to happen. So just accept that right now. No, if Jesus said, beware if all men speak well of you. So if everyone loves you, then you've got a problem. You've got a problem. It's not the people. You know, everybody was shouting Hosanna to Hosanna to Jesus as he entered Jerusalem, then they killed him. Think about it. Okay, so the first point is you won't be able to be friends with everyone. Romans 12 verse 18 says, if it be possible, as much lies within you, live peaceably with all men. That means it's not going to be possible to live at peace with all men, but as much as is possible, do it. Sometimes you won't be able to have a peaceful relationship with everyone, but you can live peaceably with all men. If they don't respond or return that peace, it's not your baby, it's their baby. It's not your problem, it's their problem. But you do your part. Amen? God doesn't want you to be friends with everyone. What's the next point? Now, I want us to be friends with everyone. You can be friendly with everyone, but let me say it like this. You can be friendly with everyone, but you're not going to be friends with everyone. God doesn't want you to be friends with everyone. Okay, here's scripture to prove that. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. God doesn't want you to be friends with people who influence you negatively. If people are influencing you negatively and you're not influencing them, God doesn't want you in those relationships. If you're not strong enough to influence them, get out of there. Until you're strong enough to go in and be an influence, don't allow negative people to influence you. And I'm not saying just, you know, tell them you're negative, I don't want to hang out with you. And you don't burn bridges, okay? Just withdraw your fellowship, withdraw your relationship, and be wise in the way that you do it. Be loving in the way that you do it, okay? So God doesn't want you to be friends with everyone. And then an important point is we deal with relational conflicts and relationships by first dealing with ourselves. This is one of the things which we focused on last week, and I'm going to focus on it a bit more today. But the first step to dealing with relational conflict is dealing with yourself, even if the other person was wrong. I mean, it's always the other person, right? So when the other person has hurt you and they've done everything wrong, you still deal with yourself before you try and deal with them. Okay? I think some of you need to write that down. It's true. So the way that the first step to dealing with yourself is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You then, my child, be strengthened or be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what that's saying is when you're strong in grace, when you've received Christ's grace, Jesus' grace, and you're strong in it, you're established in it, then you're able to flow in grace. If you're not strong in grace and understanding God's grace and receiving God's grace, you cannot give it. You cannot give what you don't have. So you need to receive God's grace to give God's grace. If you've received God's grace, you understand God's grace, you think you have revelation of it and all of that, and you're still not flowing in God's grace, there's people like that, it's just because you're not choosing to do it. Galatians 5 verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit isn't something that we're trying to get hold of. The fruit of the Spirit, this is a revelation for some of you, I'm sure. Fruit is a natural byproduct. You plant you have an apple tree, it naturally produces apples. It's phenomenal. Fruit is a natural byproduct. It happens. Fruit just happens. Okay? And so God doesn't withhold fruitfulness in some areas and give fruitfulness. He put fruitfulness in the seed. And so that's why you plant a seed and it produces fruit, given the right conditions, and unless there's something wrong with that seed. So what I'm trying to show you is that you've got the fruit of the Spirit in you as a believer. You've got the fruit of the Spirit. You've got love, joy, peace. How many of you don't operate in that every day, all day? There's two honest people here, myself and Jacques there. The point is that you've got to let that fruit out. You've got to let the love of God, which is in you, out. If you don't let it out, it's deep inside of you. No one's going to ever know that you were a Christian or experienced the love of God if you don't let it out. So you've got to let it out. Okay? You've got to be strong in grace to give God's grace. Otherwise, I mean, if you're not strong in grace, you're never going to give God's grace. Some people think that God is angry with them. If you're this person this evening, it's awesome to have you here this evening. But some people believe God's angry with them and waiting for them to step out of line. As soon as you step out of line, hey, that's why sickness happened in your life. That's why the washing machine's broken. That's why your dog needed to go to the vet and it cost however much. That's why your dishwasher broke. Or, you know, whatever your problems are, we often think that it's because we stepped out of line and God is punishing us. It doesn't happen like that. God's a good God. He doesn't do things like that. Things like that just happen. Okay? And if you think God is judgmental and legalistic, then you know what you're going to do? You're going to reflect that onto other people. Then, you know, when someone else steps out of line and crosses you, you're going to be harsh towards them. You're going to be pointing out their sin. You're going to be telling them what's wrong with them. You're going to be on their case. But if you understand the true nature of God and God's love and His goodness, then when someone messes up and crosses you or does something, you're going to accept them. You're going to love them. You're going to extend forgiveness. You're going to be embracing. You're not going to kind of just like, I know we all have moments like that where the spirit of slap comes on us and we just want to deal with someone. I'm not always in the spirit. Amen. I have moments like that, but I choose. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I should be honest with you, lest you judge me. But I mean, I've had people come up to me and then they tell me how much the message blessed them, and then they go on to tell me what I should have said or how I should have said it. And I'm just standing there with my hands behind my back going, Lord, I just want to hit this person right now. But I'm not going to, because I'm going to let your love flow. And I go, thank you so much, you know. God bless you, whatever I say to him. We had one, this was years back. I'm on the rabbit trail right now, but it's going to bless me. This guy came up after I preached, and he was like, I understand what you're saying, but you shouldn't say it like that. You should say it like this. And then he said the opposite of what I said. And I didn't just keep quiet then. I was like, no. I was like, that's the opposite of what I just preached. I don't believe that. And he said, but that's wrong. I said, no, it's not. You're wrong. So I picked a fight with him, and I was kind of like, you know, telling him that this is the message. And he even emailed me after that like 10 pages, and I didn't even read it, to be honest, because I know he's wrong. One day when we get to heaven, he'll know. You know, the point is that we all have moments where we're not operating in the Spirit. You have to choose to operate in the Spirit. You have to choose to get the fruit of the Spirit out. You've got to choose to love people. It's just because the love of God is in us, it's easy to love people. We just need to choose it. Amen. So the first thing I want to kind of look at this evening, that was just my introduction. I know it was a lot, but the first thing I want to look at is just offense. Okay? Offense. Offense, I love the saying, offense is taken, not given. Which means that you take offense, offense is not given. Now, it doesn't give you an excuse to be offensive. You don't go around and just intentionally try and offend people. That's ungodly. But like in all cases, if you're offended, if someone offends you, you chose to take that offense. Now we're looking at deal with yourself before you go and deal with that other person. If you can get this, this will set you up for success in business, successful relationships in your family, successful relationships in church, everywhere. Offense is taken, not given. Doesn't give you an excuse to be offensive. But offense is taken, given. Okay, now, I almost want to make you say, everybody say, I love Shane. But we won't do that. I love you. That's why I'm standing up here. And this isn't being legalistic in what I'm preaching this evening. Because I'm preaching it from a place of you don't have to do this, but you get to live a supernatural life like this. Jesus is in you, which means you can love people. Amen? We've got to choose that. And sometimes I might say something from the pulpit which doesn't make you feel good. But it's just because you're feeling convicted. It's not condemnation. If you're feeling convicted, change. If you're feeling condemned, then you were somewhere else. You weren't here because we don't preach condemnation. Condemnation kills. But when I present truth to you now, it's more of a thing of, if you realize that's you, then just go, wow, Holy Spirit, help me. You know, rather embrace it and change so that you can be a better person and we can love you more. Amen? Okay, so the thing I want to say about offenses is that if you're someone who gets easily offended or hurt by others, then you're too full of yourself. If you're someone who gets easily offended or hurt by others, you're too full of yourself. You're in pride. You're thinking too highly of yourself. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. That means I'm dead. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You cannot offend a dead man. You're dead as a Christian. Dead to the world. Dead to the way of the world. You can choose to go the way of the world, but you're dead to it. So choose to allow Christ to live in you. Jesus was never offended. So you choose just to be like Jesus and not be offended. If you feel some kind of offense that you're offended with someone, just realize that you're just living in the flesh too much. And choose to rather focus on the fact that you're dead and that you're alive in Christ, and so that offense cannot be taken. You can't take that. A dead man can't receive something. We bury them. If I had a corpse up here, and I kicked the corpse, I spat on the corpse, I cut the corpse, you know, whatever, I could just hurt the corpse, insult the corpse isn't going to all of a sudden attack me. The corpse isn't going to start crying. It's dead. Amen? This bottle top is a good example of that. It's an idiot, this bottle top. It's stupid. It's a piece of rubbish. Did you see how it didn't get offended at me? Because there's no life in it. It's not attacking me. I can put it back on the bottle and it's not going to reject going back on the bottle. It's going to do what it's called to do because there's no life in it. It cannot get offended. That's how we should be as believers. Offense cannot stick to us because we're like Teflon. Just comes off of us. Amen? Hopefully, by the end of the message, you'll believe it. Yeah, I found in my life, when I used to get hurt or offended, I still do, and I'll get to that, but you know, when I used to get hurt or offended, I realized it was because I was immature. Then as I matured in Christ, I've realized that you know, the only reason I get hurt or offended by someone is because I value their opinion too much. Then they say something about my preaching, or they say something about me or my family or whatever. It's usually because I value what they think. And I've learned just to not care anymore. I care about what God thinks of me, not what you think of me. I want to go off and tell you stories now, but let's get through the message. I can keep the stories for the end. I mean, I've had people even criticize the clothes I wear. And I don't care anymore. My wife lets me out the house, it's fine. You know, if that, then who are you? You know? Anyway. Proverbs 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression or an offense. It's in your best interest to overlook offenses, to let them just slip past. Okay? Maturity doesn't get easily offended. Maturity doesn't get easily offended. Proverbs 17, verse 9. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. So when we foster love, when we're nurturing love and actively cultivating love in our hearts and choosing to flow in love, then what is it doing? It's saying that we're not easily going to get offended. We'll let the offense go. Because you're seeking the relationship over the issue. Seek relationship over the issue. In 10,000 years' time, will that issue really matter? You're going to be alive in 10,000 years' time. You're going to be one place or another. but you're going to be alive. And you won't remember about someone offending you today. If you're in heaven with me, you're going to be celebrating. You're going to be worshiping Jesus. You're going to be forgetting about everything. If you live like that now, you won't be offended. Meaning, if you focus on Jesus and how awesome He is, you won't be able to be offended. Doesn't matter what anyone does to you. And we'll get to that. That's one of my points in a moment. The next point I want to make after offense is, you know, don't tolerate strife. Don't tolerate strife. Strife is conflict, friction, discord, disagreement, variance, dispute, quarreling, bickering. It's when there's an issue between you and you're just kind of like attacking each other, or there's just like strife, okay? So strife is something you can't afford to tolerate in your life. James 3 verse 16, for where there is envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Where there is envying and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. Some of you wonder why you're confused. Because there's strife in your life. Some of you wonder why there's evil things just going on in your life, why things are going wrong. It's because strife. Strife opens a door for the enemy. That's why, you know, you just have to make the decision, I'm not going to tolerate strife in my life, in my household, and we won't tolerate strife in the church. Amen. Tolerating strife in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our relationships, and in our church family would be like finding a poisonous snake in your living room. It crawls under your couch, and you're like, oh, there was a poisonous snake, a deadly one, Cape Cobra. Oh, you know what? It's not hurting me. It's under the couch. Let's just leave it. You know, a couple months back, our neighbor came over and told us that there was a Cape Cobra, about 2 meters long, that went across the road in front of our house and into the little, like, empty patch of grass across the street from us. We closed our doors every day for a while. We made sure we had our eyes open and that our boys just weren't running around by themselves and all that. We kept our eyes open. You know, the snake control came to try and find it. They couldn't find it. We were like, we have to keep our eyes open. Because you don't tolerate something like that in your house. Most of us have a poisonous snake in our house. We let our kids play there. We invite people that we love to come in and fellowship in our living rooms with us. And there's a snake under the couch which would kill them at any moment. That's strife. If you have strife in your life, at any moment it can destroy everything. And if you're tolerating it, you're allowing that to happen. Okay, envying and strife opens up the door for every evil work. Not just an evil work. Every evil work. For some of you, that's why you're struggling to receive healing. For some of you, that's why you're not walking in the blessing of God like you should. For some of you, that's why, you know, you're not seeing the results that you know you should see, which the Bible talks about. And it's because there's strife in your life. If you deal with the strife, it's easy to receive from God. Now, God's not withholding the healing, and He's not withholding the blessing from you, but strife will prevent you from receiving. God's not withholding from you. That's good news. Amen. That was worth coming this evening. God isn't withholding anything from you, but you will stop yourself from receiving if there's strife in your heart and your life. One of the reasons is because you feel like you don't deserve it. That's just one of the reasons. But you've got to deal with the strife. Strife and envying are not things that you can afford to foster in your heart and keep in your life. They're luxuries you cannot afford. Okay? They're demonic. And they will just open up all sorts of problems for you. So deal with strife before it deals with you. Deal with strife before it deals with you. If there's strife in a relationship, deal with it. Address it. Get rid of it. Because it's not godly and it will only cause destruction in your life. Yeah, I know that's a bit heavy, but it's good news because that means you can deal with it. Amen? Matthew 5, 23 to 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there. Don't take it with you. Leave your gift there. Amen? So leave your gift there and then leave your gift before the altar, go your way, be reconciled to your brother first, and then come and offer your gift. This scripture is really just stressing the importance of dealing with relational issues. Don't just let things go. Deal with them. Deal with them. Okay? Make sure you deal with them before they deal with you. This verse isn't saying that you have to be at peace with every single brother or sister. Okay? Jesus wasn't at peace with everybody. He was at peace with everybody, but not everyone was at peace with Him. You need to work to be at peace with everyone. As much as within you, live peaceably with all men. If they don't return that peace, it's okay. It's not on you, it's on them. You are 100% responsible for 100% of your part of the relationship. Okay? But you're not responsible at all for the way people receive you or they deal with what you do. Someone asked me, I don't know who it was, but this week or something, about how do I deal with people making bad decisions under my ministry? You know, you encourage someone, you walk with them, you reach out to them, you're teaching them, you're leading them, you're advising them, you're counseling them, and they still, you know, do a whole bunch of stupid. How do I deal with that? Well, it used to keep me up at night. It used to cause me to worry about them and constantly be praying for them and just like, you know, I wonder how they're doing and whatever. It doesn't anymore. It's not because I don't love you. It's because I love you while I'm standing up here. I'm teaching you. I'm doing everything I can. If I meet up with you one-on-one and I give you counsel, I give everything I can. We've got a table of resources which are available to help you make good decisions and grow in your relationship with God. When you walk out that door, you are your own responsibility. I'm responsible to give you the message. You are responsible to do something with it. If you do nothing with it, God bless you. If you're saved, I'll see you in heaven. I'm not going to lose sleep over you. I used to. You can ask my wife. We used to sleep, lie in bed and like be thinking about people and praying about them. And it made me sick physically. Because I'd be, you know, you'd carry all of that. And it's like, you know, up until last year even, some individuals who didn't like some things I did and they weren't part of Grace Life anymore and they'd moved on and they knew they should be here and God was calling them to be here and all of things like this. And I was constantly like working on the relationship, trying to bring them back, trying to build bridges and trying to mend things. End of last year, God just said, just let it go. And I was like, you know what, Lord, this is a lot of work I could be putting into people that are coming to church. So I'm just moving on. I'm not even going to try anymore. And that's not being disgraceful or anything like that. That's just choosing where I'm going to put my focus and my energy. I've only got so much time and so much energy. And you shouldn't put that into people who aren't receiving. You put into people who are receiving. So I just stopped contacting people like that. And I was like, if they want to receive ministry, they'll be here. They'll receive ministry while they're here. Some people didn't want to come to church, but they wanted to meet up with me in the week and receive ministry in the week. And often I'd meet up with them. I'm like, I preached that on Sunday. You need to get the CD. And every week it was the same story. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to waste my time with you anymore. You need to come to church. And I wouldn't meet up with them unless they were at church on Sunday because I'm not going to waste my time anymore. And if people make bad decisions, hey, I'm sorry about that. I did what I could to help you. You know, it's important that you realize you're responsible for your part and they're responsible for their part. If they don't do their part, it's not your problem. It's not your fault. It might affect you, but hey, God's with you. He can sort it out. Amen? So, this verse is awesome. Write it down and put it up somewhere and meditate on it. It's going to bless you. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Only by pride comes contention. Only by pride comes contention. What this is saying is that pride, or it's saying that self-centeredness is the root of all grief. Okay, and what pride is really just being full of yourself, full of self. What this verse is saying is that pride or self-centeredness is the root of all grief or anger. Okay? Contention doesn't come because of what others do to us. It comes because of what's inside of us. What's inside of us makes us angry. It's incorrect to say, you make me so angry. If someone's making you angry, it's not so much them, it's you. It's an opportunity to grow. Amen? That's not, you don't seem that excited about it, but this is an opportunity for you to grow. If someone's grating your carrot and rubbing you up the wrong way, it's not them, it's you. Deal with you and you'll be fine. I've shared this testimony before, but you know, when I was on a mission trip in Madagascar years back, we were in the middle of the Malagasy rainforest, and there was this one guy on the team. We were in the same tent even, but he was just irritating the heck out of me. I was irritated, and I would wander off into the rainforest by myself going, God, help me. You know, I don't know what to do with this guy. Help me to love him. Help me to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And then I'd go back to the team and we'd minister and whatever, and I'd just love him, and he'd do something. I didn't even remember what he was doing, but he would just be a nana and I would just love him. At the end of the 2 weeks, he came to me. He was like, I'm so frustrated. I can't handle it anymore. I'm trying my best to irritate you and I'm just not getting through to you. Because he was a kid. So he was just wanting to be a kid. And I just said to him, well, I don't know what you're talking about. He was just like, you know, you've just responded in love. And I was like, well, I love you. You know, that's how we should be. You know, if people, yeah, you know, we've all got buttons, right? Right? When people push your buttons. The enemy knows what your buttons are, right? Person sitting next to you probably knows what your buttons are too. And the devil will use them sometimes to try and push your buttons. Amen? You don't want to say amen, but you're saying amen inside. So what happens is then, if that's possible, if people can push your buttons, then the enemy will always have someone who's more than willing to work for him and come and push your buttons. Devil's got lots of people he can use. Some of them are Christians and we love them. But the enemy can send anyone to come and push your buttons. And if he can send anyone, he will send everyone. So you've got to learn to deal with you, and then the enemy will give up because it's like, well, every time I send someone, I can't get through to them, so I'm going to give up. Amen? So, you know, we can't stop our anger by stopping others. So a lot of people will try and control their environment to try and control their anger. So it's like, okay, well, I'm not going to see this person anymore because they just make me angry. No, deal with yourself. Don't try and cut people off of out of your life, because that's not the answer. People try and control their environment. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be with these people because, or we even try and pray people out of our lives. Lord, so-and-so is terrible. Please take them, you know, move them somewhere. How many of you prayed that? My hand's not up. I was just identifying with you. Yeah. The point is that we shouldn't be like that. We should deal with ourselves and then and realize that if we're angry or upset about something, we got to deal with ourselves, and that's the first step. Amen? It's pointless to try and deal with our circumstances and our surroundings, because we live in a fallen world. We've got an enemy and he's always going to try and push our buttons. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2, the first part of chapter 2, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. What this is saying is that you run your race and your life by focusing on Jesus. If you're consumed, you know, in heaven, you're going to be so consumed with Jesus. Wow, Jesus, you're awesome, worshiping him. You're going to forget about what happened 10,000 years ago. Live like that now. Be so consumed with Jesus and his love for you and his forgiveness and his grace that when people offend you and hurt you and do things against you, it's like you don't even realize it. That it's like, wow, it just bounces off of you. It doesn't have an effect on you because you're consumed with Jesus. If you're consumed with Jesus, nothing's going to get you down. Amen? I know you don't believe it, but it's true. It's really, really true. So when we're focused on Jesus and what he did for us, we won't be focused on the opportunities that we have to get offended or hurt. So let's talk about dealing with the problem then. Before I talk about dealing with the problem, if you think about Jesus who died on the cross, what was one of the last things he said? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He was so consumed with a greater good. He was so consumed with his mission. He was so consumed with God that he did not at once think about the pain he was going through. What did he do? He focused on the others. If you look at Stephen, the first martyr, the first person who was killed for his faith, he's being stoned to death. People are throwing rocks at him. He's not drugs, okay? People are throwing rocks at him, and he's being killed for his faith. And what happens? He's saying, Father, don't hold this to their account. Forgive them. And if you read modern day accounts of people who are killed for their faith, often they're saying, Father, forgive them. Why? Because they're not consumed with self. They're consumed with Jesus. They're allowing Jesus' love to come out. And it's like, you know what? I know I'm going to be with Jesus. I know I'm going to die and go and be with the Father in heaven. And so if you're stoning me to death, you've got more problems than I do. Some of us don't believe that. But if someone's killing you for your faith, they've got more problems than you do. Just kneel and go, Jesus, forgive them. Show them love. Show them grace. Because that's what's inside of you. Amen? So how do we deal with the problem? There's a few questions which we can ask. Okay, the first question is, am I the problem? We're going to get really practical now, okay? If there's a relational strife, I think the first thing you've got to ask yourself, if there's a problem that you've got with someone, ask yourself, am I the problem? Because you might be. I know it's usually always the other person, but you, heaven forbid, but you might be the problem, okay? You might be knowingly or unknowingly causing hurt or offense. You might be doing something which is just knowingly or unknowingly causing someone pain and strife and whatever, and it's causing disunity. It's causing strife. If you know, the awesome thing with discovering that is that you can change. Maybe you didn't know, you can stop doing it. Maybe you did know, you can stop it. Okay? So, am I the problem? There's many answers to this, and there's many ways that you can discover, or many ways that we could be hurting people knowingly or unknowingly, but I've selected, I think, just one or two, which I think I just wanted to share with you this evening. And the first one is Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man brings a snare. Okay, so if you're fearing man, you're not fearing God. And if you're fearful of, that means you're fearful of rejection. You're making decisions according to what is everyone else going to think. How is this going to influence everyone else? How are they going to accept me or are they going to reject me? If that's you this evening, it's good that you're here to hear this. Because people like that are insecure. I mean, obviously it's no one here. It's everyone we know that didn't come this evening. And people like that are difficult to get along with. It's a relational strain usually. They sap the life out of a relationship. Because it's all about them and it's focused on them. If you're fearful of rejection, you're making decisions based on yourself. And how can people accept you? You're not interested in them. You're interested in yourself. And how can I be accepted? How can I be loved? How can I not be rejected? Galatians 1:10. Paul speaking, he says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." If we're trying to please people, then we're making decisions to avoid being rejected because we're insecure. This causes a lot of relational strain. Now, if you're seeking to honor God and seeking the approval of God and you're going that route, you will naturally honor people and you will naturally love them, and it should result that people accept you. But some people will reject you for it. And if you're insecure, you'll seek those people's acceptance, and you'll do what you don't like red, and they like red, so you'll wear red. You know, they don't like hamburgers, and you love hamburgers. They like sushi, you hate sushi. They want to go out for lunch, so you love sushi all of a sudden. So then you're going for sushi, and it makes you sick. You get what I mean? You're making decisions to try and win approval of others. All of a sudden, you don't have an opinion. Whatever they say, you do. Whatever they say, you agree with. And you know what happens in situations like that? Eventually, you're going to get, you're not going to be seeking the approval of God, you're going to be seeking the approval of men, and sometimes you'll honor men above God then. When is we should be honoring God above men. Doesn't matter what you think of me, God loves me. Doesn't matter what you if you think that this is, if you think I'm messing up in my life, whatever, God loves me, I'm making decisions with Him, I'm going with Him, who are you? Amen? So, if you're the problem, you can change. That's good news. Humble yourself. Seek to be reconciled with them. Ask for forgiveness. Tell people you're sorry. This is really practical. If you realize you're the problem, sometimes, you know, in a relational situation, sometimes you'll need to go to the person and say, hey, I realize I was wronging you, and I realize that I've caused hurts. I realize I've caused offense, and I just want to apologize. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me, please? Sometimes that's necessary. Sometimes, please don't do it. Because you're just going to open up a can of worms. For example, like let's say, you know, I realize that I've had a problem with Jacques. And like after 3 years of fostering this in my heart, and or even 3 months or whatever, I'm just like, you know what, I just need to get this off my chest. Jacques, you know, I've just had such unforgiveness and bitterness towards you. And, you know, when you did this thing, it just hurt me. And you just, you know, I thought that you were a terrible person. And I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. You know, please forgive me. On him, and you've just offloaded on him, and you've just opened up a whole can of worms. He was living in dreamland. He didn't know about it. Sometimes you can just deal with yourself without going to the other person, and it'll be fine. But if your issue is affecting someone negatively, then go to them. Then seek reconciliation. If it's not, just deal with yourself. Don't go and dump on someone because it makes you feel better. Amen? So, if it's because of insecurities that you have, and you've got insecurities, and this is why there's relational strain, then deal with your insecurities. Don't try and deal with the people around you. You know, focus on who you are in Christ. This is one of the best tools we've got to help you focus on your relationship with God, or who you are in Christ. The I Am devotional, 7 weeks focusing on your identity in Christ. It's at the back there. If you can't afford it or don't want to pay for it, take it. Just tell them you're taking it. Go through it. It's got a CD in it as well, which has got the teaching on for each week there. And you're able to just focus on who you are in Christ. And the more secure you become in Christ, the better your relationships are going to be. The better you're going to, you know, people are going to like you more. If you want to be liked more, become more secure in Christ. Some people won't like you, I'll be honest. That's just a footnote. Conditions apply. Some people won't like you when you realize you're in Christ, but you'll become a stronger person. You won't be insecure anymore. So if you're the problem, learn from your mistake and don't do it again. Amen? Okay, then the next question you can ask is, are they the problem? This is always the case, right? They're always the problem. The person sitting next to you is the problem, not you. Right? Okay, is anyone here? So are they the problem? And in that situation, I want to encourage you, seek to understand why they act the way that they do. If someone's just, if you think, like for example, if I came in this evening and I walked straight past you and didn't greet you, don't be offended. Maybe I was thinking about something which is more important than you. I honestly maybe didn't see you. Maybe, you know, often we get into situations like that. This person didn't phone me. This person didn't greet me nicely, or they looked at me skew. You know, maybe someone died in their family and they're struggling. Maybe they're going through a challenging time and they just weren't thinking about being polite to you. Put yourself in their shoes. Think, you know, maybe they're going through something and you can help them and be a blessing to them. Okay? Seek to understand why they act the way that they do. Maybe they had a really bad childhood. Maybe they have had a really bad life, and they just need people to just love them unconditionally. We all actually need that, but maybe they need it more so. Then that'll help show you how you can reach out to them, because compassion should come up in your heart towards them. But if the other person is genuinely the problem, and they're causing offense, and they're hurting you or whatever, I want to encourage you to humble yourself, be the bigger person, and seek reconciliation. Build a bridge. As Christians, we are called to build bridges, not burn them. Make a decision that you're never going to burn a bridge. Yeah, I've made that decision long ago. And even when people leave, even if they leave Grace Life for the wrong reasons, I make sure I don't burn bridges so that they can't that they feel like they can never come back. If people leave, you know, I'm just like, you know, we had someone say to me they feel God's leading them on to go somewhere else. And I kind of felt that they were not telling the truth. I felt that there was issues and they didn't want to talk about them. But I said, if God's telling you to go somewhere else, God bless you. You know, like, I'm not going to stop him. So you go where you feel God's leading you to go. And I said, if you ever feel God, this is my open door. This was my building a bridge. If you ever feel God calling you to come back, you're more than welcome. We love you guys. We appreciate you. And we're friends with you. So I said, this was a couple of years back. I said this to them. There's a bridge which they can always come back on. I'm not going to say, hey, you're never welcome back. You're for the wrong reason. That would be dumb. Okay, so if they're the problem, you know, humble yourself and build a bridge. We're called to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. Build a bridge. Make peace with people. You make the first move. God made the first move with us. For God so loved the world, he gave. While we were yet sinners, he gave. He forgave. When we were in the bad situation, God reached out to us to rescue us. Be like God, your Father. You reach out to others and you reconcile before they even think about it. Be like Jesus. When someone offends you or someone hurts you, forgive them before they even think of asking for forgiveness. You know why? Because God's already forgiven you before you even think of saying sorry. He forgave you 2,000 years ago on the cross. You're forgiven. Doesn't give you a reason to go and live in sin or to do stupid things, but it means that you're forgiven. It's awesome. That's good news. Okay, Matthew 18, verse 15 to 17 gives us some principles on how to deal with difficult relationships or with relational strife. And so we're going to pull out a few things from there. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. If he doesn't listen to you, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to even listen to the church, let him be as a Gentile and a tax collector. That's not a nice thing, okay? Tax collectors. Everyone said amen. So, yeah, these are Jesus' instructions for how to deal or resolve relational conflict. It's very seldom followed. But this is Jesus' instructions. And I'm sharing this with you this evening because I want us to have a culture of dealing with issues. I want us to deal with things when things come up. From the beginning of Grace Life, we've had many things come against us. The enemy's tried his best. We're still here. Okay? But one of the things as leadership we've always said is if you have any question, come and ask us. We're transparent. If we deal with a situation, you don't like it or you don't know, you hear a rumor, just come and ask me. It's amazing how many people won't come and ask. They'd rather gossip about it. But I'm just saying, just come and ask me. Just come and ask. I mean, that's Jesus' instruction. Look, step one, go directly to those that have offended you. Step one, go to those that have offended you. When we have opportunities to be offended or hurt, if we just go to the other person and square things up with them before we go to anyone else and dump on them, it would save a lot of problems. Because often what happens, I'm picking on Jacques this evening because he knows I don't have an issue with him. So, you know, we have a relational problem. Jacques offends me. So I go to Kunrad. I'm like, Kunrad, I can't believe what Jacques did to me. You know, he's been treating me really badly. He didn't greet me this morning at church. And he didn't talk to me the whole service. I don't know. I've done something to offend him and I don't know what to do anymore. I think he's got a problem. You know, I think he's probably living in sin. You know, now I start assuming and whatever, and I'm talking to him about it. Someone else, you know, Catherine comes and starts talking to us, and so we're like, do you think that everything's okay with Jacques? I think we should pray for him. We make it spiritual all of a sudden. I think we should pray for him because we suspect that he's involved in some kind of personal sin, and that's why he didn't greet me this morning. I'm using a very stupid example, but you get the point. If this is your example, it's stupid. Yeah, and then, you know, there's three of us involved in it. Now, I go and tell someone, they go and tell each two people. We're spreading this lie about Jacques, and now a lot of people are not going to like Jacques. A lot of people are going to start talking about Jacques. A lot of people are going to start thinking ill of Jacques. Whereas, before I even went to Kunrad, if I'd gone to Jacques and said, Jacques, did I do something to offend you? you didn't greet me this morning, you haven't said hello or anything. Is there a problem? Did I do something to hurt you? Because, you know, I value the relationship and I just want to make sure everything's okay. No, you know, I just had a really rough week. The doctor died, this happened, that happened, whatever, and I was thinking about so much, I'm sorry, I didn't even see you. Issue dealt with. I didn't infect Kunrad. I didn't infect Catherine. They didn't infect others because we dealt with it right up front. You see that? God's pattern, Jesus' pattern for dealing with relational conflict is go directly to the individual. If I had gone to Jacques and said, Jacques, now this is what the Bible teaches, right? If I had gone to Jacques in private and said, Jacques, I just want to just chat to you about something. It seems like you've got an issue with me and I just wanted to ask you. You're like, did I do anything to offend you? Yes, and I never want to talk to you again. Okay, but you know, I'd really like to square things out. I don't know what I did. Please go away. I don't want to talk to you. Okay. Kunrad, please would you come and talk to Jacques with me? He won't talk to me. And this is Jesus' instruction. Take one or two people with him. I can even, you know, take Catherine with me. And the three of us go to Jacques and say, Jacques, we can't allow strife in our relationships. We value a relationship. Please tell us, what did Shane do to offend you so that we can sort it out? And then it's arbitration. Okay, it's mediation. I've done this in the church. People can't get along or they can't make a decision. Sometimes good things, sometimes not even, you know, sometimes not even that bad, but they get me in and then we just talk about things and then I help them come to a solution in their relationship. And it helps defeat the devil's purpose in bringing division. Okay? Now, if Jacques is still like, I don't want to talk to Shane ever again, please, you know, just leave me alone. Then, I don't just go, well, then it's a case of, you know, let's go to the church leadership. And then the three of us would go to church leadership and say, you know what, we really value Jacques and the relationship with him, but he's got something against Shane. We need to sort this out. This is a very, very, very simple example. But you get what I mean, right? And then church leadership's responsibility would then to be to approach Jacques and be like, Jacques, we need to talk about some stuff. Now, that's church discipline, and that doesn't work in most churches because most churches don't operate right. They don't have a healthy leadership to be able to exercise that. That's the first thing. And the second thing is most people in most churches aren't submitted to the leadership anyway. So if leadership tries to address something, they're going to go to the next church. So it's like, okay, then church leadership comes and goes, Jacques, we need to deal with something. No, we don't. I'm going next door. Bye. Now, who are you to tell me what to do with my life? Or yeah, church leadership does that out of love, and we want to help. And so we're coming, and we're just like, you know what? We can see how we can help you mature. We want to help you grow, and we want to help build unity in the church. So just hear us out. If the person is truly submitted in that church, and that's their church family, they'll go, okay, you know, I was wrong. Please tell me how can I grow? And it might be difficult, but you submit. You know, a lot of times in a church, and I believe this is a word for someone. I didn't say this morning. A lot of times in a church, we kind of get hurt or offended or in relationships and we just move on. You know what? They really hurt me. Hey, but there's many churches. I can go to that one. I can go to that one. I can go anywhere. Might not be a Grace church, but who cares? I can go anywhere. So we kind of just go anyway. And we never deal with the relational issues, which means we never mature and we never grow. But God wants us to grow, and if you're going to grow, then you need to sort it out. You need to deal with that conflict, and you need to grow through it. The Bible says in Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. If you keep running away from character sharpening opportunities, you're never going to mature and you're never going to fulfill your purpose in life. You're never going to reach your potential and God's not going to be able to use you like He wants to. And so it's vital that you deal with these relational issues. Don't sit on that side if that person's, you know, crossed your path and you're upset with them. Before you take communion, you need to deal with it. Otherwise, God's going to strike you. No, I'm joking. The good news is God's not going to strike you, but you're not going to live the abundant life, and because of strife, you're not going to receive your healing easily, and it might actually cause you to die. God didn't do it. You did it. You seek reconciliation. You sort it out, and then you'll be able to live the abundant life and experience the blessing of God and receive your healing. Receive whatever you need. Amen? So in a nutshell, that's really just how Matthew 18 principle works. You know, church discipline isn't something which is awesome, and I don't like it. I like it in that it helps people grow, but it's not a pleasant thing. We've had to deal with it once or twice. I mean, and it's amazing for me just how different people respond to it. One, you know, the Bible says about division. I think it says in, I don't remember where it is, but it says, if you find a catch a divisive person, someone who causes division in the church, warn them once. And I think it then says warn them twice. And then it says have nothing to do with them. Treat them as an outsider. Get rid of them. I didn't like it when I heard that verse for the first time. Because then it came to our attention that someone was being divisive in the church. They were going to so-and-so and talking about so-and-so. Then they were going to so-and-so and talking about so-and-so. And then they were going to that one and prophesying, doing it in the name of God because it's spiritual then, prophesying about that. And everything that they were doing was causing division and problems and disunity. And we had a number, leadership had a number of different people come to us and say, so-and-so is saying this and that and whatever. And it was different sources all saying the same thing. And we went, oh, no. Now we've got to deal with this. You know, otherwise, if you don't deal with strife, it deals with you. It'll destroy the church. And so we were, it's like, you have to cut out the cancer. So we were like, okay, you know, went to the person. We've heard reports from different sources that you've been doing this and that the next thing and saying this and that the next thing. No, it's not true. Okay, well, you know, we've heard it from a number of different people, so we're just coming to tell you that you can't do that anymore. Please stop being divisive. Rather help unify the church. Build unity. If you have a problem with someone, if you have a problem with me, if you have a problem with leadership, come to us directly. Ask us. Sort it out with us. But don't go and spread your disease amongst everyone. Didn't say it like that, but I don't know how else to say it. And so, you know, we kind of did that, and they were like, no, I can assure you I didn't do that. Okay, well, we're just warning. And in that week ahead, we had more people come to us. Different people. So we were like, okay, let's go back to the person. You know, we've had more reports. So we just want to warn you again and say, please, don't be divisive. This was a couple of years ago, in case you're trying to figure out who it was. You either know who it was or you don't. Okay? Then they basically were very defensive and offended. And, you know, if you're easily offended, you're immature. That revealed where this individual was at. They were full of themselves. And yeah, so we're like, okay, well, we love you. We don't want to have a problem. But the Bible says if you continue in this, we have to kick you out. We don't want to do that. Please repent. Well, do you want me to leave now? They asked us. No, we want you to repent. Eventually, we told that person they're no longer welcome at Grace Life until they repent. A lot of people, including myself, loved that person. It was difficult. Some people left the church because we made that decision. It was for their benefit. You know, a lot of people look at that and go, that wasn't grace for that individual. It was grace on the whole church. If that person was still here, we wouldn't be here. So it was grace on the church, and we protected the... You know, if I've got cancer sitting over here, and I'm going the medical route, I'm not going to have grace for that cancer. And be like, you know what, I'm just going to let it, it's okay there. It's going to kill me, my whole body. Cut it out. Don't have grace for the cancer. Get rid of it. So in that situation, you know, a lot of people got upset and they left. And, you know, a lot of people didn't understand. And I heard rumors of, you know, I don't understand why leadership did what they did. And I think they're ridiculous and they're making the wrong decision. And then we had other people, you know who you are, who came to me, like even 2 years later, and said, you know, I really struggled with the decision that you made 2 years ago. I really struggled because I loved that individual and I didn't understand why, but I chose to believe the best in leadership. I chose to believe that they had my best interests in heart and they were protecting me. And so even though I didn't understand, this is maturity in action, even though I didn't understand, I chose to go submit and go with what you said. Now, 2 years later or whatever it was, I understand why you did what you did. Not many people do that. Which brings me to a wonderful scripture. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls. I'm not doing what I do because I want you to love me. I'm doing what I do because I love you. And I'm looking out for your best interests. I'm trying to help you grow, as is the whole leadership. We're not in this for the money. Amen? For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning. For that would be of no advantage to you. Meaning, you know, when I go home on a Sunday night or every night of the week, you want me to go home and go, Marna, my wife's name, I love what I do. I just love dealing with the people at Grace Life. I had to make some difficult decisions today, but the people just make it so easy for me. That's what you want. That's what that scripture says. You want it to be a blessing for your leaders to lead you. Some people just, I don't know, the wires in their head are crossed wrong. And they don't try to make it easy for their leaders. They try and do everything possible to make it difficult. Why did you do what you do? I disagree. You don't have all the information as to why we made decisions that we made. If you don't understand, come and ask me. Message me, contact the office, email us. We'll respond and we'll tell you why. I remember in one meeting, I don't remember what the situation was, but we did something, we made a decision, we did something, and it was actually the situation where we had to ask the person to leave. And someone that I know, I love, and I trust, and we've been friends for ages, was in that meeting, and we told everyone, this is the decision we've made, these are the steps that we've taken, this is why we did what we did. And that individual came up to me in the week after that meeting and said to me, I still think you're not telling me everything. I said, there's nothing more to tell. I don't know what, I can't manufacture anything else. No, I just have this feeling that leadership's not completely honest. You're a problem there. Anyway, then another question, just a few more questions. Are we both the problem? That's more often than not, right? Are we both the problem? If you're both the problem, I want to encourage you. Doesn't matter what the other person did. You're responsible for your part. So you humble yourself, and you go and seek reconciliation. Okay? Matthew 7:1-5. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look for the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Deal with yourself, and then think about dealing with other people. Yes, they probably hurt you. Yes, it was valid that you're upset, but deal with yourself first. Okay? You're dead. Deal with yourself first. When you go to them and you seek reconciliation, don't tell them everything that's wrong with them. You did this and that, the next thing. I've seen people do this. It's ridiculous. You did this, you did that, and it really hurt me, and I want to come and ask you for forgiveness, what I did. You go to the person, if you're seeking reconciliation, you forget about what they did. You don't mention what they did. And you say sorry for what you did, and you seek forgiveness for what you did. Think about the prodigal son. The younger son comes home, the father sees him a long way off, runs up to him and goes, when you left and you took all my money with you, you really hurt me. He didn't do that. The father embraced him, gave him a new robe, gave him a ring, sandals, and didn't mention his failings, his faults once. Don't go and point out people's faults to them. The Holy Spirit doesn't even do that. God doesn't even do that. The devil does that. He's the accuser of the brethren. Don't work for him. Work for Jesus. Point out the good in people. Seek to build them up and encourage them. Amen? So, if the problem seems demonic, just another point. Maybe it usually is demonic. But 2 Corinthians 4:4 just shows us that sometimes there's demonic things going on, and this is talking about more for unbelievers, but I just wanted to mention it and say that sometimes it's just demonic influences in our lives or in others' lives, and we just need to pray into the situation. Rebuke the devil, pray for blessing on that person, and then do something practical. Love them. If someone's at odds with you, they don't like you, they're against you, don't just ignore them and pray for them and whatever. Seek to actively bless them. If they're at they're sitting at the desk next to you or in the seat next to you or whatever the case is, find out what they like and bless them. If they like good coffee, buy them a bag of coffee and leave it on their desk. You don't even need to tell them that it's from you, because you're not doing it for the recognition. You're doing it for bless them, for their benefit. You know what that will do? It might not change their heart towards you, but it'll change your heart towards them. And when your heart changes towards them, the way that you deal with them is going to change, and their heart will change towards you. Operate in the opposite spirit. Okay? Buy them their favorite chocolate or something. Okay? You know, Jesus actually gave the same thing in, or not Jesus, sorry, it's Proverbs 25, 21, 22. Well, Jesus is God. It's all word is inspired, so I'm not wrong. Eh? Amen. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. This is your enemy. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you, will you heap coals of fire on his head, the Lord will reward you. So you're really just seeking to bless someone when they're against you. You're helping them see that you're the bigger person, and you're just loving on them, and love will change them. Might make them more angry at first, but just keep going. The last thing with relationships that you have to ask yourself, if there's an issue relationally, if it's not you, if it's not them, if it's not both of you, and it's not demonic, maybe it's God. It might be God who doesn't want you to be friends with that person. Maybe even just for a season. Might not be permanent. Don't make it permanent. But maybe you just need to be apart from someone for a while, for whatever reason. If it seems like God is the one who's leading you, you know, I've had lots of friendships where God's kind of just led us in different directions. And it's not like there was an issue or something. It was more just like God's sending us in different directions. So we don't connect anymore. We don't keep in contact because they're on a mission, I'm on a mission. It doesn't match up. It's going in opposite directions. And it would take a lot of energy to kind of maintain that relationship. And God wants us to put that energy into what we're called to do. And so, you know, when we see each other, it's awesome. We can connect. We can bless each other. Now and then we catch up or whatever. But we can't be intimate friends like we were anymore because we're in different places right now. And so sometimes, you know, if that's the case, then you need to separate. Don't make it permanent. Keep a bridge open. And do it in a godly fashion. If you do it in an ungodly fashion, you'll burn the bridge. Don't burn the bridge. Be friendly with everyone, but you don't have to be friends with everyone. Amen? Be friendly with everyone. Okay? But you don't have to be friends with everyone. Last scripture, Ephesians 5, 1 to 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Imitate God your Father. If God's your Father, whatever's in His makeup, His DNA, is in your DNA. Whatever's in God's DNA is in your DNA. So, let's read it again. Therefore, be imitators of God, dear children. This is the New King James Version. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The Living Bible translation says, follow God's example in everything you do, just as a much-loved child imitates his father. You are a much-loved child of God. So now imitate your father. Look what he does and you do it. Okay? Be full of love for others, following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself to God as a sacrifice to take away your sins. God was pleased, for Christ's love for you was a sweet perfume to him. The Message translation says it best. Watch what God does and then you do it. He's your dad. Watch what he does and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. What does God do? Love you. So watch what God does. Watch how he loves you, and then you do what he does. So dealing with relational strife and difficulties. If I've got my problem with Jacques, I don't go to Jacques and point out his problems and try and deal with the issue. What do? I can deal with the issue, but the way that I deal with the issue mostly is I look to God, I see how he loves me, and then I love Jacques like that. I choose to love Jacques like that. It's not a feeling. It will result in feelings, but it's not a feeling. I choose to love him like that. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Why must you keep company with God your Father and watch how he loves you? There's a scripture which we used earlier. Bad company corrupts good character, right? Flip it around. Good company corrupts bad character. So if you keep in company with God, His goodness is going to affect you and change you. So in a relational difficulty, if I'm at odds with someone, it's usually because I'm not enjoying a very intimate connection with God. I'm not allowing this flow to happen. So what I need to do to deal with this issue, I need to deal with this issue. And it's not an issue that God has with me. It's an issue I have with Him usually. Always. So I go to God. I'm like, God, I just want to receive Your love. Show me how You love me. I receive that love, and then I can give that love to whoever I've got a problem with. Okay? His love was not cautious. Observe how Christ loved us. So we've got to look at how Christ loved us. And then it says, His love was not cautious, but extravagant. Don't be cautious in loving people. Yes, you might get hurt. You probably will. But don't be cautious. Don't be reserved in how you love people. Be extravagant like Jesus was and is. Be extravagant in the way that you love people. Amen? He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of Himself to us. Love like that. So we need to just be over the top with the way we love people. We've got to love people like Christ loved us, and then it deals with the relational issues. Look at how God loves you, and then love like that. Amen? Father, I want to thank You for this very exciting word this evening. We all always have opportunities to get offended and have strife in our lives and things like that. But I just want to ask You to help us to live strife-free, offense-free lives because it's possible. I want to thank You that these practical things which we've spoken of this evening, these practical things are going to be things which are ingrained in our hearts, and this is going to be our new default in dealing with relational issues. That if we have an issue with someone, we'll go to them directly and we'll seek reconciliation. We'll seek to make things right. We're going to seek to talk things out and bring restoration and unity rather than go and gossip about it and talk bad about others and burn bridges and cut people off and all. I thank You that in this church family, we're going to have a culture of dealing with things so that they don't deal with us. We're going to be on the forefront when the enemy comes to cause division and kill and steal and destroy. We're going to be dealing with these things so that they can't affect us negatively. Thank You, Jesus. I really, just close your eyes for a moment. I really just feel in my heart that the Holy Spirit's ministering to a number of you right now. And you in your heart may have even, you know, have a name of someone or a picture of someone. You know that you need to sort something out with someone. They've offended you, you've offended them, you just know that you have to sort it out. And I believe that as I've spoken this evening, God's even shown you how to deal with it, and now you know what you need to do. And I want to challenge you, do it. You're being foolish if you leave here and you don't deal with it. You need to deal with it. If that person is in this room, please deal with it before you go home. If they're at home, when you go home, in a loving and gracious and gentle way, deal with the issues. Don't point out other people's faults. Point out your faults and ask for forgiveness for your faults. Let them point out their own faults. But you know if you've got to sort something out with someone, and if that's you, then I want to challenge you to do it. I really, you'll never mature and grow and reach your potential if you don't deal with the things that you need to deal with. You know, if we're in that situation, it's difficult usually because there's pride in our hearts. And, you know, the first step to dealing with pride is to humble ourselves. If you want to deal with a relational strife, you've got to humble yourself. So I want to help you humble yourself this evening. If that's you and you realize you need to deal with strife in your life, then I'm going to ask you to humble yourself and stand up so that I can pray for you. So if you can stand up right now. If you know you've got to deal with something, you've got to go to someone and sort it out, whether they're here or they're somewhere else, I want to encourage you to stand up now as a sign of humility that you're humbling yourself and you're going to seek to be reconciled with someone. Nobody's going to point out and laugh at you or anything like this. This is between you and God. But this is an opportunity for you to humble yourself and be the bigger person. Take the first step. If you do this, it's going to be easier to go out there and deal with it. You can stand up right now. I know God didn't give me this message for nobody. So if you're here and you know you've got to sort something out, please stand. Awesome. Father, you know who's standing and you know who needs to, you know the situations, you know what they're dealing with, and I just want to thank you that you're honoring them for their humility. I thank you for those that are standing and they know that what they need to do. And I just thank you that you empower them by your Spirit to do what they need to do. I thank you, Father, that even for those that are responding on live streaming, that are standing at home, you will empower them to be able to do what they need to do. Thank you for everybody who's responding right now by standing, that you would give them the words that they need to say. You would show them how they can bless the other person, how they can seek reconciliation. And I thank you, Father, that doesn't matter how the other person responds, this is going to clear strife in each person's heart that is standing right now. In the name of Jesus. I just speak your blessing over those standing, and I thank you, Father, that you are with them, you are in them, and you're enabling them to do what they know they need to do. Thank you that they're going to do what they need to do in a loving and gracious manner, in a way that you would do it, Father. And that's going to bring honor and glory to you, Father. In Jesus' name.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.